Hey, gang. Welcome to National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, republicbroadcasting.org. It's the wild and woolly stock market of free speech because it goes up and down and you just never know. But one thing you do know is that you're going to hear people saying what they really mean and not holding back. I don't think. Gilbert, do you hold back?
Never,
yeah. I don't really hold back. Not much, at least. And I think that's what you get on RBN. Whereas you go other places and people are talking in dog whistles that you can't hear them because you're not a dog. So just go to RBN, republicbroadcasting.org, click on the donate button, send the fundage, 2251 Double Creek 5, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Otherwise, call it in to 1-800-724-2719, extension 3. Okay, Philbert, so what's up? Elon Musk Tesla share prices down like 40% over the past couple of years. Elon Musk, Starlink, he provided Starlink to, at first I heard he provided it to Gaza, but I guess it was just like UN facilities in Gaza he provided Starlink to. Is he for real or is he just a BSer?
Yeah, I kind of would agree with the latter. He's notoriously full of shiza, and he's somewhat of a liar. I mean, he's a billionaire. Imagine that. Imagine the shock, you know, a billionaire being a liar. And I would admit, I don't think his products are very well made either. But, you know, a lot of people are, especially a lot of people on the right, are just so very desperate to cling to something. Like any little thing they can cling to, they're so desperate. They want to cling to, like maybe something he said, that was like mildly conservative or something. And that there's a lot of hope and a lot of emptiness, around the world. And I wouldn't say he's a major source of it, but you know, here and there he does supply some, like you said, dog whistles, I guess. And always seems to come up short for some reason. Imagine the irony.
Yeah, I mean, he says a lot of things that can cause some excitement, but overall, I don't know. It does come up short.
He called himself a pro-Semite. Somebody accused him of being an anti-Semite for allowing free speech of all things on X, formerly known as Twitter, and he said that's ridiculous. I'm like a pro-Semite. And another thing a lot of people may not know about this, I was surprised when I found this out, is that when he was in South Africa, he actually attended a Hebrew elementary school, which is kind of puzzling to me because if I'm not mistaken, and I admit I may be mistaken, correct me if you know elsewise, but I would think that if you're not Jewish, they probably wouldn't allow you into a Hebrew school, but I'm not sure about that. What do you think?
I don't know. I think it would depend. I don't know.
Anyway, nonetheless, I kind of found that interesting. So that's something to consider, you know, when you put your faith into somebody who went to a Hebrew elementary school.
Yeah. I don't know. So yeah, we have people like him. We have people like Trump. We have people like Tucker Carlson who say enough that you think, well, they must know the score. And then you just keep waiting for them to make some really important move or important declaration. Doesn't seem to happen. And I don't know. Like, I honestly, I've been very busy lately. I heard Donald Trump's speech from a couple of weeks ago. I didn't hear him talking. Actually, I didn't really hear him talking all that much about Gaza other than saying if he was president, none of this would ever happen, which is like, is an empty thing to say. It is what he says about a lot of things. It would have never happened. Well, the question is, well, why would it have never happened? And I think he says this in order to let people, like his various supporters, think, like arrive at their own preferred conclusion. So a lot of his supporters, a lot of the boomers, are like, yeah, it would have never happened because he's so tough. Vladimir Putin would have never done it. He would have never made a move. Whereas other people might think, yeah, because he wouldn't have pushed the Russians to the brink. Other people might think that, and they can think whatever they want because his statements aren't clear. I don't know. What I have seen a lot of people from the I guess you would call the MAGA movement. I think there could be a distinction made between MAGA and America First. Maybe there needs to be a distinction. You have a place like the Gateway Pundit, which is run by a gay guy. And the Gateway Pundit is just super pro-Israel right now. America First, you got this guy, young guy, Nick Fuentes, and he calls his Operation America First. And he's his way of viewing things is a lot closer to mine or David Duke's or whatnot. So there might be a distinction there. The MAGA people, you know, who is considered MAGA? It's Marjorie Taylor Greene and, you know, people like that who are in Congress who, you know, they might talk tough on immigration or something. They might talk tough on trannies in women's bathrooms, things like that. But when it gets down to it, They're still very philo-Semitic. They are still promoting a big hunk of the Jewish agenda. So I'm just throwing that out there as, I think, an important distinction. Whereas Nick Fuentes, I'm just going to say, on his show from a few days, I guess from Friday or Thursday, pretty recent show, he was saying that he opposes the entire Jewish agenda. The entire Jewish agenda, because people were getting on his case about, I don't know what it was. Maybe it was for not condemning Hamas or whatever. And he was just saying, look, he says, I recognize that there are factions within the Jewish power structure. I recognize that there are factions in the Jewish power structure that might be even pro-Hamas or, you know, pro-Palestine, or there are factions that are anti-immigration. But I'm just against the entire – I'm just against all the factions. I'm against all the Jewish factions. I'm America First. He said it better than I did. But, you know, I thought that's a pretty good message.
So. Yeah. Did you see he debated, or I don't know if it was like a debate, but he had a very long – debate like discussion with Alex Jones. Did you see that?
I saw part of it. I had helped. I showed for it. I was on David Duke's show the hour before it occurred, and I told everybody to go over to, you know, cozy.tv/Nick and watch it live, or go to Prison Planet or whatever his Alex Jones's site is called, watch it live. And it had been billed as a debate. But it really wasn't a debate. It was more of a conversation because they have a relationship. Like Dr. Duke never has met Alex Jones. And so he went on the show and it was a real debate. And David Duke just blew Alex Jones out of the water. Whereas Nick Fuentes and Alex Jones had cooperated a lot in the Stop the Steal a couple of years ago. I guess that's 3 years ago already. So they had an ongoing relationship, a friendly relationship. So it wound up just being a friendly discussion where, you know, Nick was making some of his points, not super forcefully, but he was making, some of his points. And Alex Jones was saying, well, my grandfather, they fought the Nazis and, you know, the Nazis are bad. Nazis are very bad. And what do you think? I mean, the Chinese run Hollywood. And he was just making his retarded points. Did you see the whole thing?
Almost all of it. I had to go do something, but it was, yeah, I saw about three quarters of it.
So what did you think? What was your impression of what you saw?
You know, I've had mixed opinions on Nick Fuentes, and you know, when we're in this dire situation, you can't afford, and us collectively as a race, we can't afford to be nitpicky, you know, on things. So my take on Nick Fuentes in general is that anybody who names Jew, or talks about Jewish power and exposes a Jew is cool with me. So that's, you know, and for instance, like, he's very religious, and I tend to think that, and I know a lot of people disagree with me, but and that's fine, but I tend to be in the camp of Christianity is somewhat harmful to our race, since it's an Abrahamic religion and it's worshiping the same God that the Jews worship. However, that's a different subject, but what I'm saying is that I do like the debate, and I agree with him on just about everything. So, and like I said, anybody that will name Jews and talk about Jewish power is very helpful. So I respect him in that manner.
Yeah. And he does. He talks about it bluntly and pretty well. I mean, better than I could have done at 25. At 25, I did have kind of a vague awareness of it. I remember 25. Yeah. I mean, there had been, I guess 1984 was there was a primary election, and the Democrats running. There were two Democrats who were interesting to me. And you got to understand, in 1984, us boomers, we were very, very low information. There was, if something was in the newspaper, then you read it. If you subscribed to a magazine, and which some people did, there might be, if Newsweek or Time or U.S. News and World Report put something in an article, then you got that information. But there was no internet. And so you got the information that was thrown at you. Going to like look up information, get information, required a trip. Pretty much it required a trip to the library, and you're spending an afternoon looking around for things that we take for granted, that, you know, you can just like pull out something and check it. Like the historical, before the show, we were talking about, well, okay, Tesla's at this share price now. What share price was Tesla at? You know, when was its high? What was it at a couple of years ago?
Right.
Well, that would have required a trip down to the library, and you'd have to get out the old newspapers and find out.
Right.
Right? That's what you'd have to do. So we were low information. Getting back to that, 1984, there was the candidates and the Democratic – well, the incumbent was Ronald Reagan and his vice president, George Bush. And I really, really disliked Ronald Reagan. And I think in 84, I had good reason. I think by 87, 88, my reasons for disliking him weren't as good. But he had been very hostile to the Soviet Union. He'd been a big Cold Warrior, a lot of military spending. And this, which was my big issue, because I'm like a war peace kind of guy. I'm a peace guy. And so then who was running against him? Walter Mondale was the front runner, and he was taking a real he was a cold warrior too, and his main challenger was early on was John Glenn. There was Gary Hart, and they were all like cold warriors. The people that were interesting to me was George McGovern, who was a former senator but had run for president in 72, and as a kid I stuffed envelopes at his local campaign office. And then Jesse Jackson was interesting to me because he was taking a peace stance. He was like wanted to de-escalate the Cold War. But at the end, so I had to decide between not just voting for one or the other, but, you know, I wound up being a delegate, at least to my state convention. And I chose Jesse Jackson because Jesse Jackson had met with Yasser Arafat. And Jesse Jackson was pro-Palestinian, and the Jews were – they had their knickers in a bunch about Jesse Jackson. He was the one – and that was why I chose him. So – but, you know, so I was, you know, more or less Nick Fuentes' age at that point. But I just didn't know – I didn't have nearly the background or the knowledge that about these things that he does, but I didn't have the opportunity also. I knew a fair amount about world history and whatnot from university, but they don't teach you about the Jews in university. That was something I had to learn slowly.
Yeah, so like you were saying about the information age that we live in, one thing about that is I've noticed, like you said, you had the cojones to talk about it, but you didn't have, say, the knowledge, or the knowledge was harder to get. And it's interesting, it kind of just occurred to me, is like, I probably think back in the day, people had, you know, more guts and bigger cojones to talk about this, meaning that if the information was available, they would have done so. But now that the information is available, people are just afraid to come out and talk about it. And that's another thing, you know, I can give him credit for, is he doesn't seem to be afraid to talk about it. He gets around, you know, he's not the only one, but just him as an example, you know, he can get around some of the, say, financial barriers that they put in place. Like, you're not allowed to, and Dr. Duke, you know, is another good example of the financial barriers. And I mean, Andrew Anglin, and there's lots of people, but there's very few people that actually have guts, you know, to come out and speak about this. And that's what we're lacking in large part nowadays, I feel.
Yeah, so Dr. Duke, he doesn't have access to credit card processors and whatnot. And so he asks people to send him checks or money order in the mail, in the snail mail. And that right now is his only means of raising money. Andrew Anglin, I don't know where he is. He says he's in Nigeria. And maybe they don't have the greatest financial service industry in Nigeria. He tries to get money through not even Bitcoin, but through
Monero.
Monero.
Yes, Monero is a privacy coin, and I can understand why he does that. It's way more private than Bitcoin. You could call it idiot proof, I guess, where it's something called a ring signature, and a cryptocurrency is where it can look like it came from 11 different people. So like you may be one of those persons in an 11 person signature ring, but you know, the chances of them picking you out of one of the 11 is pretty small. Monero is a very good option, and he's smart for doing that. But the National Alliance, also the organization Dr. William Luther Pierce founded, they're also not able to receive payments of any kind electronically, except for cryptocurrency. When I paid for my membership dues, I emailed them, or I snail mailed them a money order, maybe it was a check, I don't remember. But yeah, that's one thing that the Jews still have power over. As Kevin Alfred Strom says, if they could, if they had a choice or a way of stopping them from receiving snail mail, like, they would do that, but so far they're not able to do that yet.
There are laws in place. I mean, that is something that would really set a major legal precedent. And whereas with credit card companies, banks, you can say, well, they're private entities, they can decide who they want to do business with, which they can, but say restaurant owners or people who run schools can't decide who they want to serve or who they want to admit, right? You gotta admit anybody. You can't discriminate. But
Attention, freedom-loving patriots. Are you ready to dive deep into the principles that founded our great nation? Join me, Peter Serafin, and the Institute on the Constitution as we light the way to a brighter future with the Liberty Lighthouse Classroom. At liberty-lighthouse.com/classroom, you'll find a treasure trove of online courses on the U.S. Constitution, carefully crafted to empower you with knowledge to defend your rights and liberty. Whether you're a student, a history enthusiast, or just a concerned citizen, these courses are for you. Gain a comprehensive understanding of our Constitution's principles, the wisdom of our founding fathers, and how to apply them in today's world. As a special offer to our freedom-loving listeners of Republic Broadcasting Network, use coupon code RBN at checkout and get 20% discount on any course. Join the Liberty Lighthouse Classroom and be a part of the movement to uphold the values that have made our nation exceptional. Unleash the power of knowledge and protect what truly matters, our Constitution. Visit liberty-lighthouse.com/classroom today. Don't miss this incredible opportunity. Use code RBN for 20% off. Together, we'll be the beacon of freedom our founding generation envisioned. Liberty Lighthouse Classroom. Illuminating minds, empowering patriots.
Did you know the IRS publicly admits that income tax is collected by voluntary compliance? Get the information you need to help you avoid income tax with these five easy steps. All you have to do is go to avoidincometax.com to get your five easy steps on how to avoid the IRS income tax. Escape the IRS. Let avoidincometax.com help you. We guarantee our five easy steps or your money back. Go to avoidincometax.com.
Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new Ease-Off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an Ease-Off drop-in lift?
Our Ease-Off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the Ease-Off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. Easeoff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
Ease-Off, LLC, 417-932-6419.
They can decide who they want to do business with, which they can, but say restaurant owners or people who run schools can't decide who they want to serve or who they want to admit, right? You got to admit anybody. You can't discriminate. But you know, the U.S. mail is run by the American government. So that would be a big thing if they started depriving people of mail service.
You know, on that note, real quick, before I forget about it, I know I've said this before, but it sort of bears repeating, is that another thing they would, you know, you could say that the Jews have a proverbial hard-on to do is to cut your regular services like utilities and like internet and power. That would be something that I would look for in the future if we don't change things, you know, if we don't fight back a little bit, is that, you know, if you're deemed a racist, you know, like you could potentially have your power or your utilities or maybe even your water cut off, you know, similar to what's happening in Gaza right now. You know, if you're an enemy of the Jews, that's very potential. There's a high probability of that in the future if we don't do something about this. And just as a quick example, I would point out that the state of California did this during a lockdown. There were a few, not many, but nonetheless, there was a few people that got their power cut because they were having parties. They were throwing parties in the state of California during the COVID lockdowns. And a few of them got their power cut, you know, and I mean, that's just unprecedented. It's hard to even fathom, but it's something to look for in the future. You know, if we don't, like I said, if we don't prevent this.
That's a good point. So if these Jews would cut the power to 2.3 million people in order to supposedly, I mean, the story is because they're trying to get at Hamas, these however many Hamas there are. You know, if there's 40,000 Hamas fighters, they're willing to cut the power for the other 2.2 million people. Then, well, I mean, wouldn't they be able to put out a narrative that, well, we have to cut the power, or this is targeted. We're not, this isn't group punishment. We're targeting anti-Semites. We're targeting people with violent ideas because, you know, speech is violence, right? Speech
and,
is violence.
And they're
violence.
Nazis, right? They're Nazis.
Yeah, violence isn't violence. Speech is violence. Yeah, Nazis. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, that's a good point. Our speech is violence. Our silence is violence.
Yes.
Yeah,
that's good. Sorry, you still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, our speech is violence and our silence is violence. Isn't that something?
Yeah, that's telling. That's telling to how they perceive us, right? They perceive our race as an enemy, meaning that, you know, it should be fairly obvious to anybody with a few brain cells that they don't want us to survive. Like, if they could have our way, they would just outright line us all against the wall and shoot us, as they did in, you know, the Bolshevik Revolution to an extent.
Yeah, and I don't want to, you know, I don't want to get too polemic. And who is they? Obviously, you know, Mr. Shapiro at the next cubicle in your office. I'm not saying that he wants to line you up against the wall and shoot you, right? You can have perfectly nice, friendly relationships with Jews, but as a group, their group actions are extremely hostile and detrimental to our group, and that's just a fact. You can't get around that.
Yeah, it's a survival strategy or a survival trait that they have. That who is that doctor that did the culture of critique?
Kevin McDonald.
Yes, Dr. Kevin McDonald. It's something that, you know, he correctly and articulately pointed out in his book, The Culture of Critique, which is a very good book. I recommend it.
Yeah, it's a good book, and you know that you don't have to read it from cover to cover, straight through. You can look through the index and, cause it's divided into what, 9 chapters or something. And you can just say, oh, this chapter looks interesting, and just read that chapter, because the chapters will stand very well on their own. And, I recommend, is it chapter 4, chapter 7, the one on immigration, the one on the Jewish role in immigration is a real good one to read. And then, you know, that'll whet your appetite. By the way, it's also on like audiobook.
Okay, I didn't know that.
On YouTube. Yeah, you can. The thing is, the audio, I think like somebody just dumped the entire book into one giant file. So I've seen a few years ago, I saw it on YouTube, and it was like 7 hours long. It's like a 7 hour long YouTube video. I think it would be much better divided into chapters. And I'm sure you probably can. If you look on Rumble, you could probably find it on Rumble. But it's good. The one on immigration, very interesting. And I recall the in that chapter where he was presenting some of the debate from Congress from the 1924 Immigration Act, which the Johnson, whatever, Johnson Hall.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
homeowners. Are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
This is Elizabeth McCabe, a.k.a. Lucky One of Truth Frequency News. I wanted to tell you all about Extendivite from HeartDrop.com. Y'all know I check everything before I air it. When I heard about Extendivite on TFR, I went to HeartDrop.com and started my research. It's got cayenne. That's good for blood and circulation. It stimulates the blood flow. It's got garlic, which fights bacteria like antibiotics, and it lowers the cholesterol and blood pressure. It also has milk thistle, which is the best detox for liver. I couldn't wait to try it out, and I'm glad I did 4 months ago. And here's the obvious results. My hands and feet don't get cold anymore. The varicose veins have faded too. My wrists don't hurt after typing all day. Now, I tell you all this because it's true and I want you to really live life. Try Extendivite. Go to heartdrop.com and order it.
Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2 month supply of either capsules or liquid. Call now. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Hello, hello, hello from beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead Shilajit hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilajit Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called Shilajit as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know Shilajit by other names: Shilajit, Momio, Momi, Mami, Mineral Pitch, Asphaltum, and others. Shilajit literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilajit has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's G-O-R-B-N.
In that chapter, where he was presenting some of the debate from Congress, from the 1924 Immigration Act, which the Johnson whatever was it Johnson-Hawley Act or something that restricted immigration and established a quota system based on the 1890 census, I believe it was, and. You know, it was supposed to be so racist, but there was this, was it a senator or a representative from California, I'm not sure which, who was saying, look, we don't think that, you know, the Chinese or the Japanese or the Asian are any less law abiding or any less diligent or whatever. But if they come in large numbers, if they come to my community, they're going to be competing with my constituents for jobs, and I'm here to represent my constituents. So it wasn't a hateful thing. It was just, this is our country, and if we let these other people in, it's not that they're bad people. It's not that they're lazy. It's not that they're stupid, but they're not us. And I you know, we got to represent our interests, and to the extent they're smart people, well, they're going to outcompete us, you know? And if they're not smart people, then why do we need them here?
Yeah. So a good reply to somebody that, you know, I think all of us, at least on the internet, maybe not to your face, but on the internet, we probably, everybody that's listening has been called a racist now and then, or at least one time in your life. And let me tell you this, a good response to that is to say, no, I'm not a racist. I'm a separatist. I'm a white separatist, right? So it's hard to be a racist against people that you don't even want to live around, right? Like, and it's hard to be a supremacist or to allegedly want to rule over a group of people that you don't even want to be around, you know? So it's, and that's how I view myself. I'm a white separatist. You know, I don't want to, not that, like you said, not that you hate anybody or that you can't even respect them. You know, you can still respect you know, their culture and everything, but true diversity is diversity from a distance. You know, it's not that diversity, I mean, in the animal kingdom, you know, it's, you don't see polar bears and grizzly bears, you know, living in the same cave. You know, it's just not how nature works. And, you know, so
yeah. You know something, though, different. I hate to say it, but yeah, there are some coal burning polar bears. There are, because of, well, maybe because of climate change, polar bears and brown bears have been moved into proximity with, or they have moved themselves into proximity with each other. And they're close enough that they can reproduce. But the problem is, if you get a polar bear female who has jungle fever with a brown bear, the resulting cubs, they're not able to swim long distances.
They're probably mentally ill bears too.
I don't know if they're mentally ill bears, but they, polar bear fur is very, very special. It's evolved in a certain way to insulate the polar bear from the extremely cold water. Because, you know, the water that they swim in, it's not like freezing is 32 degrees. We think of freezing as 32 degrees. But the water they swim in is less than 32 degrees because it's salt water, right? And, you know, salt water lowers the freezing temperature. That's why you throw salt on your driveway in order to de-ice it. So it's extremely cold, and they have to keep the water away from their skin, and their fur does that. It's buoyant, and it's insulating, and it's waterproofing. But the mulatto polar bears, if I can use that term, the mulatto polar bear cubs,
or hybrids.
The hybrids. Are unlikely to have all of those features. And so they're just, these are not genes that should be introduced into the polar bear population. They shouldn't be introduced into the gene pool. I'm just saying.
No, you're right. I mean, you could say they'll inherit conflicting interests and inclinations, which would erase, you know, hundreds of thousands of years of evolution. And even the remaining original bears will suffer stress and derangement and lower birth rates as a result of the unnatural situation, I guess.
Hey, speaking of bears, did you ever hear of Smokey Bear?
Certainly, yes.
Yeah, I knew Smokey Bear. I met him.
Did he tell you to put out fires?
No, because he's a bear. He doesn't speak English. He's a bear, but he was in the National Zoo in Washington. He was a cub that had been in a forest fire, I believe, in New Mexico in the 1950s. And, you know, he was saved. I guess his mother perished in the forest fire, but he was saved, although parts of his fur were burned off. And it was like a big story. And they took him over to Washington, D.C., put him in the National Zoo. And of course, in the, you know, the 50s and the 60s, a bear cage at the zoo was just a prison cell. So he wasn't in a nice enclosure or anything. He was just in a prison cell. And by the time I saw him, he was kind of old, and you know, parts of his fur were kind of mangy looking because he had burns. He was a burn victim. But no, I met Smokey Bear.
Well, that's awesome.
It's totally awesome. Yeah.
I must say, when I go hiking, I always make sure to have my bear spray.
Do you?
Of course. Yeah, that ain't no joke.
There are bears. I was driving on, gosh, where was I? Like Interstate 90 or something, near Lake Erie. And I saw a dead bear at the side of the road. I'd never seen a dead bear at the side of the road, but there was a dead bear. There was bear roadkill. I've done some shows, did some shows a couple of months ago about roadkill, and you see a lot of deer. In the old days, you saw like lots of dogs and cats. You don't see that so much anymore. But I saw a bear, roadkill bear. That's enough. That's enough. Hey, what's the big idea? Come on. Sorry about that.
It sounds like the dog is seeing a bear.
Dog was seeing another dog.
Ah.
What goes through these dogs' brains? I don't know. This is weird, though. Because we're talking about, we were talking about what we were talking about. And yet dogs, so many dogs, they identify completely with their human families, and they're really hostile to their own kind. Isn't that weird?
Yeah, well, kind of. I mean, we compete with our own resources, or we compete with our own kind over resources, you know? Yeah, I guess I could kind of liken it to what I call the global race war. Is, you know, we may not be in a hot war right now with, or what we know as a hot war, a shooting war, if you will, with other races. But, you know, we're constantly competing with other races for resources and living space.
That's a good point. So and you could think of, say, in the old days, if you had people and they were, let's just say they were herders, and they had their sheep or they had their reindeer or whatever they were herding, and they came in contact with other people who are potentially herders. They would be siding with their animals against the humans. So maybe we're not that different from dogs.
Who knows?
Who knows? Okay. We are late in the show at this point. We've got another 10 minutes or so. Here's something, and this relates to Gaza. So they cut off food and water. They've also been very diligent in trying to cut off telecommunications, the internet. Have you followed that at all?
Yeah, didn't they? Weren't they? They, as in, just say Israel or Israelis. They were able to cut cell phone coverage, I believe, in Gaza. There were three carriers, and I think, I don't know via which means or how they did it, but they were either able to convince or outright just get the carriers to shut down the towers, the access, probably just shut down their SIM cards, is how I'm guessing. But that's scary. Like it goes to what we were talking about earlier on in the show.
And, you know, given what they are doing there, which are atrocities, which are war crimes, they want to do that with the cover of darkness, communication darkness. And so I know that there have been periods of time, you know, at least hours out of the day, where there has been no internet service for the vast bulk of these people. And, of course, the obvious to prevent images from getting out, because you can hear stories, but those images, the videos in particular of high-rise buildings pancaking, 9/11 style, just pancaking, and those are shocking images. And this type of information, especially these video images, that is really, really detrimental to the Jewish objective, the Israeli objective.
You could say the mask is coming off. I mean, I don't know how much, you know, more one would need to see to come to the terms of what these people, and again, these people, meaning the Jewish power structure, what these people really want and what they're about. You know, I mean, they're at the core, you know, they're genocidal maniacs, I think is safe to say. And again, you know, as you pointed out, I'm not saying every individual rabbi, you know, is going to grab a gun and try to shoot you. But as you correctly pointed out, as a whole, these people's soul are very destructive people.
They are very destructive. And, you know, we are social animals, right? What other social animals are there? There's like bees and there's ants, I guess, naked mole rats. There are these highly social animals.
Wolves.
Wolves are social, yeah. Their packs are a lot smaller.
And than, say, dolphins.
Yeah, yeah. So the thing is, you know, it's, you could say, well, it's not all of them who are have these homicidal or genocidal intentions. And the thing is, when you're analyzing groups, you don't necessarily even have to have anybody, any individual with this kind of intention, and you can still have that kind of group behavior. You think of like how many bees. I mean, look at how bees cooperate. Look at how they're able to build these very intricate beehives and get pollen that they can turn into honey. They get pollen from all over the place, but none of them know what the plan is. They're just doing their thing. None of them understand.
Right. And ants as well.
Yeah, ants, naked mole rats. I don't know if you've ever been to a zoo. We went to the zoo a few years ago. Remember that?
That's right. Yes.
They didn't have naked mole rats there, did they?
I don't recall. I don't think so.
Yeah, but naked mole rats are weird and ugly looking rodents, and they've got these giant buck teeth, and they don't have fur, and they live underground. And they actually have a queen. They have like one female that does. So they have a social structure very similar to wasps and bees and termites, and yet they're mammals. They're rodents. But people don't have to know the plan. And these Jews, I say these Jews because Engelbert Poindexter has a new song out called "These Jews." Actually, the recording that was played last week, the sound balance wasn't very good. I think he needs to take another shot at it. But like in my own personal experience, I don't know. It's not that on an individual level they're that horrible, but their response to things, like something like this happens, and their response is to put up yard signs saying "We stand with Israel," and then, you know, their opinion leaders like Ben Shapiro or Mark Levin. I heard a little bit of one of Mark Levin's rants on AM radio. I was in my car, and God, he's just so snarling, so awful, and it's almost like an instinct. It's almost as instinctive for them to do this type of thing as it is for bees to go out and look for honey.
You hit the nail on the head. That's it. That's it exactly. It's a survival trait that they have inherited, you know, over, you know, hundreds of generations. And, you know, I hate to say it, but I don't think that you can change these people, you know, by re-education camps, you know, at the harshest level. I don't think that they can be rehabilitated, if that was even remotely possible, which that in and of itself isn't even possible. So it's something to keep in mind, you know.
So yeah, the thing
hey,
is,
speaking of songs, you said mm-hmm. songs real quick. I wanted to mention that I have uploaded our vaccination song and a short music video, or, you know, a background video to go along with it on odyssey.com.
That's excellent. And we have listeners who have contacted RBN who like the songs that you've been hearing or that the audience has been hearing during the commercial breaks, like Thursday, which is one of my favorites.
You know, that's a good point, and it's something that I have needed to do for a long time that I've been kind of short on or lack of. You know, I have my own life, and I'm in a band, too. I have a lot of things going on, just like everybody else. But it's something I've been needing to do for a while, and I've understand that. So I do plan on uploading these to Odyssey.com, since Odyssey is friendly to Filbert so far. I would definitely let you know and when where people can go find these whenever I get those uploaded.
Okay.
Einstein once said, "Future medicine will be the medicine of frequencies." What did he know? Imagine you hear ocean waves caressing a beach, or a favorite song from the past, or the trickle of the babbling brook. All of these are sound frequencies that positively affect us. Terahertz is a soothing, healing frequency that has been proven to resonate at the same frequency as healthy cells. It penetrates the body and stimulates new healthy cell growth. Want to diminish muscle aches, joint pains, and experience a greater sense of well-being? Tired of spending money on short-term remedies that never seem to work? Soothing, healing, relaxing terahertz frequency is now available and as handy as flipping a switch. Terahertz technology is changing the course of what we were taught about how to maintain our health and well-being. To learn more about this amazing breakthrough, go to naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
Standing 6'4", weighing 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science, analyzing brawn, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian, and my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. F*** you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be a bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show. Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for Hemp Paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
To Odyssey.com, since Odyssey is friendly to Filbert so far. I would definitely let you know and when where people can go find these whenever I get those uploaded.
Okay, and I don't want to leave it hanging out there because you're saying that we were saying that there's probably instinctive psychological tendencies that
right.
Jews have that are kind of part and parcel of this problematic group behavior. So I don't want to leave it just hanging. you know, even if they can't change their psychology, we can change our behavior, and their behavior really wouldn't matter if we were simply willing to say, well, okay, this is to talk about it, right? They couldn't get away with this stuff without our compliance. And we do comply. We comply. So people, there's a lot of people who are actively complicit. What else are we?
That's how they get away with it is through our complicity or our, you know, lack of projecting authority over our own lives. That is exactly how they get away with it.
And so the issue isn't to try to change them. It's to try to change ourselves, and not to change ourselves so that we can attack them or do bad things to them, but so that we can just stand up for ourselves and not go along with it. And you know, you hear all these people who I've been picking on Alexander Mercurius, who I like a lot, but you know, he talks about neocons. It's not neocons. It's Jews. Okay, this is not like a Ben Shapiro type of thing. Ben Shapiro is famous for saying race doesn't matter, ideology matters. But no, this is like a Jewish racial thing. It's not neocons. It's not just people who have a particular view, like worldview of politics. This is like what's going on is there's an ethnic agenda, and these are ethnic activists. These aren't people who just happen to have adopted a particular foreign policy view. So anyway, I just want to get that out. We're pretty much at the end of the show, but what are your final thoughts, Phil Gilbert?
Well, as I often say, unrelated to everything we've talked about, I would recommend everybody – well, actually, it's totally related to what we've been talking about. The whole show is to go spend out time in nature. It helps alleviate some of the deepness and I guess frustration that we've been handling, you know, throughout our generations. It helps me at least. Yeah, go for a hike in your city park or, you know, national forest. Take your dog with you if you have a dog.
Yes, absolutely. And if you have a wombat, take your wombat with you. All right. Well, thank you very much for joining me, Philbert.
Yeah, glad to be here. And I always look forward to next time.
And I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio.
John, I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
This is RBN. the Republic Broadcasting Network.